to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 31st of May. I know it should have been the 30th of May, but you know what? That was a holiday. And we're lucky we're even getting this thing done today.
We deserve a holiday too, you know?
Okay.
God bless America.
I was remembering all the articles that I should have read yesterday. That's what I did for Memorial Day.
Nice.
I'll start off. Because of my day job, I got to just invite myself to do something, which was kind of fun.
What did you do?
Out west of Salt Lake, there's a place called Rocky Mountain Raceways, which is it's your racetrack, right?
It's not like your NASCAR.
It's not big. It's your 3/4 mile oval track, and I got to go out and be like, "All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome out to Rocky Mountain Raceways." That was my night last night.
Oh, you were the MC.
One of the MCs.
Okay,
that's so fun.
I think that technically you would call me the color commentator.
Ah, I see.
Because I was not the guy going into the 32 turn three. I wasn't that guy.
Right. So was there an actual like race?
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Professionals.
I was like, Orchex Wing Sprint Cars. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But all I did was say things like, what's the difference between a BMW and a porcupine?
What's
Anyone?
The difference?
Anyone?
The porcupine has the pricks on the outside.
Whoa!
So it was stuff like that. That's what I did.
Did you get any immediate like feedback? Could you see the audience laugh? Or did you just have to like go based on...
You go based on that you know you're funny. Like, yeah. I know that joke killed, right?
Right.
But no, because you're in a booth.
Right.
In an essential soundproof booth.
Right.
So you go, like, the best feedback that you get is through the night when you're doing like, all right, everybody, now we're going to be looking for the mascot out there is Rocky the Raccoon.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're looking for Rocky the Raccoon. And the only way that you know that anything is working is you see kids frantically trying to find a guy in a big costume.
Right.
But otherwise, you'd have no idea.
No.
Yeah, none
That's
at all.
Kind of nice, though. You don't have, like, if a joke bombs, you just keep going. You're just
yeah.
Like, you just pretend everything works.
Yeah. To me, I kind of wanted, I was like, if I could have a little bit of a microphone just to hear if it's like, or if it's like, boo, that joke sucks. Like, I'd like to.
Most likely people were rolling their eyes being like, who is this
right.
guy?
Yeah. I got a couple of text messages.
Oh,
hey, Richie, are you in the booth at Rocky Mountain Raceway?
Really?
Yes, I am.
I knew your voice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm sure it was fine.
So that was essentially that. Oh, and we went and visited the graves, which I haven't done for a long time. But my dad and I... visited with my sister who came down from Heber City, which is about an hour out of Salt Lake.
I went there over the weekend too.
Up to Heber City?
Mm-hmm.
To visit graves or just
yeah,
for...
to visit graves.
Oh, nice.
I went there and you...
The familial ties are
my
up in Heber City?
My husband's grandpa
is up in Heber City.
Subsequent relatives are buried in the Heber Cemetery. One of the Heber cemeteries.
So they came down to Salt Lake and my dad and I don't know if there's video. Allegedly there's video of this, but my dad and I skipped through the graveyard.
Oh.
Grabbed hands and skipped. My dad
neat.
Is me 30 years older
sure.
than me.
Something
apple
to look forward
doesn't
to.
Yeah,
fall far
right?
from the
no,
tree.
No, that no, apple, no. that apple, like if it was really an apple, like mine's kind of that mutated, like what's that other apple doing on that apple? That's
right.
How far that fell from the tree.
That's cute, though.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Super adorbs. Totes adorbs.
Totes adorbs. My daughter, she's almost almost 20 months
I didn't
now.
Realize you had a kid.
Yeah, I have a kid. And
why don't
show.
You ever talk about her?
Well, you know, I don't want mom to be my identity.
Yeah.
So... my daughter was defacing graves, it felt like, because she would go over and sniff the flowers and pull all the flowers up.
Oh, come on. Come on, Lucy.
I had to be like, Lucy, no touch, you know, but they're flowers. She wanted to smell them.
Well, and they're just going to throw them in the garbage anyway.
Yeah, they just decompose.
Give them a week. Take her back. She can have them all.
Okay. Yeah.
And just a little bit of perspective. The people are dead, so they're not really like, hey, don't touch my flowers because I'm
thing.
Dead.
You don't deface graves. You don't touch someone else's grave. You don't steal things off people's graves. Like, that's a respect thing.
Sure. Teach them young.
Yeah.
I should mention, it's me, Richie T, and then we got Lindsay, and we also, the other voice that you're hearing, maybe you're not familiar with it, it's Kate.
Hello.
Hi, Kate.
She is great with child. Kate is...
Great. With child.
I mean,
With children.
Yeah, dose.
Child.
Dose child. And we've talked a little bit about that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, a couple months ago.
Had some like had a little bit of the struggles getting pregnant, and then you did it in a big way.
Yeah, and then we buckled down and double duty, got it done. One
you know
done.
What? If I could just do one foul swoop, just get it over with.
Awesome. Would you?
I don't want to get pregnant again.
You know,
it's
you
a little rough. Some women love it, some don't. But
you know, you don't have to.
I know, I don't have to.
I mean, if you want another kid, you have to.
I do. You could be Aunt Lindsay.
I know. Oh, I'd love to. Hey. I want to have another child for my daughter so she can have a sibling.
Sure.
But pregnancy's hard on me.
And we'll actually be doing an episode that'll come this weekend talking a little bit about postpartum. That's why these ladies are here, and we'll be joined in that episode by, she's not a doctor, right?
Yeah, well, she's a licensed clinical social worker.
But not a doctor. That's I get
an
in
MD,
trouble. Yeah.
No. She's a therapist.
But talking about postpartum and lady business stuff and things.
And all
that's
the
what
things.
That's what the episode will be called. Lady Business Stuff and Things.
LDS Women and the Lady Business Stuff and Things.
Which was my favorite 80s cartoon.
Really?
Yeah, Lady Business Stuff and Things.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
I had a little plush Stuff and Things.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm Stuff and Things. What's new with you, Kate? How far out are we?
We are 10 weeks or less.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So let me put that in. That's 2 months. Right?
A little over two months.
A little over. We'll see. Yeah. So I'm 28 weeks, but they don't let twin births go past 38. So.
Oh, nice.
I know. At least I got that going for me. So yeah. Painted the nursery. I was going to be that girl that like didn't really prepare about anything at all.
Yeah, nope.
You know?
And then the nurse switch turned on.
Something happened.
What happened?
Baby shower, and everyone made all this cute stuff around, and oh my gosh, it was adorable. They're like, what color's your nursery? And what's your theme? I'm like, I don't know.
Theme?
I don't know. It's a boy and a girl. What do you do?
Separate rooms?
I wish we wouldn't put this pressure on moms, though. Like,
it's just hard.
Do your pregnancy how you're going to do it.
You and then you get on Pinterest, and you're like, what have I not done yet? Oh my gosh.
I know, but you shouldn't have to feel like you're supposed to feel any certain way during pregnancy.
See, and I think the exact opposite.
No, I think there wasn't that pressure.
No, because here's why. Pregnant women, forgive me here. I know that I'm going to offend you and pregnant women here. Because you're so tired because you're making a baby. Yeah. If it wasn't guilt, you'd probably not do very much, right? You're just like, I'm tired. But then you have guilt and shame, and that gets you up and out of bed
and nesting
in the room.
You just kind of have society and culture telling you what you are supposed to feel like, supposed to do.
These kids are going to be like, great, this is what the world's like. It's like the womb. It's all gray and
you try picking out a shade of gray. Talk about 50 Shades of Gray.
Right? Yeah.
Totally different context.
We're redoing our basement, too. It's a disaster.
It's awesome. That's
gray.
Really, yeah.
Okay.
It goes with coral and navy blue.
Oh, yeah. No, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
It's the same theme as my nursery.
Don't forget gold.
Yeah. We have dark blue walls with a pink dresser. So it's like, you know, that pop of pink. But then we have like a gray chair and gray
warm and I love it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I love that I saw this on your social media, Lindsay, that you're like, cool, I bought this great couch for my basement.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't measure my couch.
That was
awesome. Does anyone want to buy my couch? That was classic.
Time out. It's not that we didn't measure the couch.
Uh-huh.
It's that we have a small sugar house and you try to get a 3-seater couch down the basement stairs. It's like trigonometry. You can't just measure it.
It did not come apart.
No. Well, so it was a three-piece sectional, a chaise, a love seat, and then a three-piece couch.
Right.
She's got the chaise.
I didn't know that word.
Yeah, no,
what is it called? Chase? Are we American?
I don't know.
It's a chaise lounge.
That I understand.
Yeah. A chaise would be en français.
Oh.
Oui.
Oh, dear.
Fancy. Parle un peu de français.
She has a kid, too. Did you know that?
Anyways, I'm a mom. So the three-piece part would not fit in the doorway, but it was literally an inch from squeezing down there and turning to go down the stairs.
No. The door down.
Well, so we thought, we weighed all our options. We're like sitting there with this, now we have a second couch in our 800 square foot living room. And we're like, okay, do we rip down the door frame? Because we needed like 4 extra inches,
right,
two on each side. But it's like, that's a mess. We're going to redo the kitchen anyways at some point. But do we want to live in that mess until we do that?
Yeah.
So we ended up just taking the couch back to where we purchased it.
Uh-huh.
They kind of worked with us.
Gave a little grief.
And we spent almost twice as much than we initially did on that couch. So we found such a good deal on a couch, $950 out the door for a 3-piece sectional.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Okay.
But we ended up spending significantly more than that to get a different couch, which was still discounted in the end. So I feel okay about that. But it was just like,
they saw you coming and going. You're like, sugar house, huh?
Yeah.
Buy this couch over here.
So that's my tip to everyone. Don't buy big couches if you live in sugar house.
Done.
No.
Buy a 5-piece sectional because you can't get them down the stairs.
That, good advice. Real good advice.
Did you really laugh at my post, though?
I did. I laughed literally out loud.
Out loud? You LOL'd?
I thought about posting on it, but I was like, she's probably had enough grief about it. So I'll just laugh silently.
Don't you know the day I had on Saturday trying to get that thing down?
Because I can see you being like, oh, come on! Right. Come on!
Seriously. So now we have an extra couch in our living room until Saturday when we get our new couch. Meanwhile, we bought a new coffee
table.
Listen
to this.
I know.
Meanwhile, we bought a new coffee table, and the old one's still sitting. So we have two couches and two coffee tables in 800 square feet.
Hot chocolate table, please.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I just got that. So I'm having a yard sale this weekend.
Yeah?
If anyone...
Anything good? Anything I need?
I got a couch and a coffee table, and
I have a small sugar house, so I probably better not be purchasing anything.
There you go. Don't buy a couch.
Anything else new with you? Anything else we should mention?
Can I DJ Rob it?
Yeah, sure.
I got my climb coming up.
Okay.
So Climb Out of the Darkness is an event that I organize here in Salt Lake City that is happening Saturday, June 18th at Enzyme Peak at 10 a.m. We are trying to raise awareness for postpartum and mood and anxiety disorders to just normalize conversation and also raise funds for a website that helped me called Postpartum Progress. And so I'm inviting anyone to come hike.
Where can they find out more information?
ClimbOutSLC.com.
Okay.
Come hike with us. It's just quick mile up and back. It's steep, so don't bring your strollers, but like wear the baby on the back. Bring the whole family. Dogs on a leash. And we're just going to raise awareness.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. How many people did you have last year?
About 50.
Cool.
Only three that I didn't know.
Nice, but that doesn't,
this
it doesn't
year,
matter.
I have 8 already registered that I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm like doubling my return.
Absolutely. There you go.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it anyway.
Website again is what?
ClimbOutSLC.com.
Okay, cool. Yep. So what about you, Kate?
My life is babies right now. I'm sorry. I have
no. No, you're fine. Listen, don't be ashamed.
That's a big deal, man.
Does it feel just like you have a furnace strapped around you? Because that's what I've heard being pregnant with just one is.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I used to be that girl that could not sleep without a down thick comforter in the summertime. I'm lucky if a sheet is like
stays on you.
Oh yeah.
It's the worst of the summer too. Are your feet swelling?
Check it out.
Oh my gosh. Right?
I have 2 pairs of shoes that fit me right now.
Miserable.
When I say fit, like I can squish them in there.
My husband would do that thing where he would poke my foot and it doesn't come back. It just stays indented.
So much fun, isn't it?
Oh, it's miserable.
No. My husband, he'll rub my feet every night now, which has started helping. I know. Total
props
to him.
That's amazing.
He will do that and... You know, and he makes it a point. He's like, do not fall asleep until I rub your feet.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh. Oh,
okay.
My gosh. That's
fine. No, so that's that. We're trying to the tricks, I guess you could say. And I'm getting some pregnancy pillow now, I guess. I don't know.
Is that one of those things that goes between your legs? Is that a pregnancy pillow?
It's supposed to help support the belly because when you like lay down on your side, the belly kind of like rolls on your back.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like I wake up, you know how you just naturally roll over?
Sure.
You get tired.
Like a little teeter totter. That's what I imagine you being in bed.
Everyone wakes up. Yeah.
Like the little bird that would, with the little bit of water on its nose. You know what I'm saying? It's in a Simpsons episode, remember? Where there's like liquid in it, right? And you just start it and then it gets, so long as it stays wet, it keeps teeter tottering back and forth. I imagine you as that in bed.
That would be me, I guess.
The giant teeter totter.
Yeah.
Ben shampooed the carpets this weekend. We sold my little hatchback car.
Oh, family car, van.
I don't know yet. No, I'm trying to say no, but I don't know. I haven't looked. Okay. Honest truth. I've been to a couple dealerships and they've all been really shady and I look like an easy target, but I'm not. I'm a
shrewd.
I really am. You don't want to mess with me. So
I got 2 in here, pal. You think I'm going
to. Yeah. I'm like, we need to speed this up. I went to a dealership and they wanted to keep going out and bringing a car for me to look at. I'm like, I want to go look at the cars.
Yeah.
Do not drive a car to me.
Right.
It's not what I want.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that didn't end well.
So, are you going for the minivan or are you trying to say SUV?
Yeah, SUV.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm fighting the minivan hard, too, but it's like at some point.
You have a kid. You have a singular kid.
That is what I'm saying. At some point, doesn't function outweigh.
That's what I keep hearing.
Like, especially with 2. Like, 2, I get it. You have 1. You have a kid.
I understand that. What I'm saying is later on down the road, if I have
future
more children, like I see moms with 3 kids, and it's like, if you don't have a minivan that like doors open, happen automatically, it's like a disaster.
Yeah.
It seems like at some point, all the people who are saying they're not minivan people just eventually are like,
no, you have to be. Because once you go two kids plus, you have to. Because, right? Little, what's your boy's name going to be?
Luke.
Little Luke will have old Jimmy wants to ride with. And then what's your girl's name?
Olivia.
Olivia wants Jane to come with them as well. Then all of a sudden you got a car full of six. You're not putting six in a Honda.
I know. Well, but an SUV might have a third row.
Yeah. In an Odyssey you will, but you're not putting them in the Civic.
No.
Nope.
No,
but with one,
a Civic.
With one, Lucy can be the most popular girl on the street. Have two friends, stick them in the back seat. Shut up, you three. Perfect. Done. Three kids in the back seat. No minivan.
I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is later on, at what point does function outweigh the statement,
like
I will never get a minivan?
Yeah. At right two now. Kids. That's right? What I'm saying. I answered your question. That's at the point.
Okay.
At two kids.
Okay.
At two kids.
No, I think
you guys talk about duvet covers and, and your chevrons and your maternity blah. I got to man this up a little bit. There's guys listening going, what? What is this?
It's what you get.
Minivan.
Yeah.
After two kids. Yep. That's it. That's the answer.
Yeah. And, do dads really want to drive a minivan,
yeah,
though?
Right?
Come on.
You know what? Here's the thing.
You tell me.
Here's the thing. For me, I'd get a minivan just for the sake of having a minivan.
Really?
I really would. Like,
you
want to
be that guy?
No, well, no, because here's the deal. I plan on road tripping a bunch.
Okay.
I'll be guy with a minivan. You bet. Hop in. The minivan, you got the seat. Not full van, not creeper van, but minivan. Good enough gas mileage.
Fun. I can actually picture that.
You know?
Big, the other one
the seats go back. Yeah.
We rented a minivan when we were in South Carolina. And you know those automatic doors on the side, man?
And they slide.
They slide open, they slide closed. You just can't beat that.
Why can't they do that in an SUV?
I know.
Why?
Can someone just open all the doors for me? Like, is that so much work now that opening doors is difficult?
Yes.
Well, you don't have to worry about little fingers.
Yeah, well, it's just like, I can sensors. Shut the door as I walk to the front of the car. It's like efficient.
Kids
you know?
Can get in themselves, buckle themselves up.
Yeah.
SUV, you got to lift them up.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So
I support that.
I still don't want to get a minivan, but maybe.
Is it shame? What's the deal? Is it the cliche? Because I really have no problem with it. I have no need for one, so maybe if I was actually looking down the barrel of the life choice of a minivan, I'd be like, no thanks, pal.
Yeah. Well, keep that in mind. It's the perception of yourself that like, okay, now my life is a minivan.
Yep.
And that. Not that that's bad, but for some people it's...
But it's a life change, right?
Yeah,
it's a perspective change on your life.
I used to be the college. I go out all the time. I had this group of friends, drove a cool car. Now I do this. So it's that change in perspective. Yeah.
You know, I sold my cute little baby blue Scion
right?
TC. And I didn't even get upset about it. Like, I'm really surprised. So I think I'm ready for something.
Good.
But I don't know.
Well,
exactly
I hope so, because it's coming in 10 weeks.
No. Okay.
Nope, you're not ready. You won't be ready.
Great.
You can't be ready.
Oh, you're talking about shaming, and now you're scaring the crap out of her. I love this. Don't let anyone tell you how you should be. You should be afraid.
No.
Be very afraid.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying it's very hard to prepare yourself for that situation.
Yeah, times two, pal.
I know. I'm not disagreeing.
That's two Lucy's. Well,
I'm more terrified for the birthing process.
Yeah.
Then I'll worry about everything else. It's honestly how I feel right now. I haven't even gotten to that point yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's how I felt, too. I didn't even look past the due date, and then the due date came and the baby was here, and I was like, oh crap, now what do I now I'm like in charge of this thing, and now I like have to keep her alive, like what do I do?
Mine graduates in 3 days,
right?
Take that, suckers.
Ooh. And then there's like real life issues.
And then what?
His deal.
He's 18, he can do what he wants.
Yeah, he's 18. Let him pick what he doesn't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
he'll figure it out.
All right.
Anything else? Should we take a break and come back and do actual articles of news?
Sure.
We totally turned this conversation back to the ladies.
Oh, I know. Actually, let me share this and then we'll take a break. Two reviews. If you listen to us via the iTunes, you can subscribe and get every episode there. I encourage you to do it. And if you do it that way, take a second and give us a review. Two reviews on the same day, kids.
Whoa.
The first one. This is by Super Super Fun. Says, fun personalities, good guests, spiritually uplifting, good topics. That's it. That's a 5-star review right there.
Spiritual on this show.
And then the second one, As an ex-LDS member, I don't listen to Mormon podcasts as a general rule, but Richie T and the gang, you guys are the gang.
The gang.
Are so entertaining and not shove the religion down your throat about everything. I started listening for the interviews, but now I stay for the weekly, most of the time, articles of news. I love hearing about the panelists, and their banter is informative and fun. I look forward to each and every episode, and when I get behind, I quickly catch up. Thank you for such a great podcast, and I'm sure that Rhiannon, who is this one, means show available in podcast form. Mm-hmm. She says, you thrill my life every week. Thrilling.
Wow. I think she likes the gang more than the Richie T.
She did say specifically Richie T and the gang. So,
but then she went on to describe the gang and how much she loves the banter.
She said, thank you. Let's not dissect it, all right? That's all that matters.
Okay.
We'll take a break and we'll come back in the second half and do actual articles of news. Hey, it's me, Richie T. Want to take a second and tell you about my buddy Dylan over at Lennon Design. Go to LennonDesign.com to see some of the stuff that he's done. Or, you know what, better yet, go to theculturalhall.com and look at all the graphic stuff that we have there at that website. You know who's done that? Dylan at Lennon Design. He's offering a special deal for people in the Cultural Hall, a 10% discount. You know why it's 10%, right? And all you have to do is just give him a call, 801-699-3022. Any sort of graphic artwork or website design that you might need, give them a call. Think about Lennon Design. You know, they sponsor your favorite podcast.
Hi, this is Dan, the laptop man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City.
Consumer alert! Consumer alert!
Are you suffering from excruciating headaches? Are you having a hard time sleeping no matter what you do? That old small computer screen from years ago could be your problem, exposing you to a huge amount of radiation and eye strain, leading to headaches and loss of sleep. Screens are something a lot of people overlook because they really don't break a lot, so they keep them for years. At PC Laptops, we only carry screens that we've tested on our own eyeballs. Right now, purchase any PC Laptops desktop and get a free monitor size upgrade. That's right. Buy a 24-inch, get an upgrade to 27 inches for free. We have brand new PC Laptops desktop computers from only $799, and they're covered forever with a lifetime warranty. That's right, $799 covered forever. So run into any PC Laptops location right now or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we love you.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News, and because Lindsay had to buy chicken nuggets, we're a little bit delayed, which means she's not a doctor, but you may hear Kristen Hodson in this part of Articles of News.
Really?
Yeah, if you want.
You want me
here? If you want to chime in.
Okay.
You're sitting here, so you might as well. You don't have to.
I'm a therapist. Therapist Articles of News.
Yeah.
She can tell us some things, you guys.
Yeah, I can analyze this.
Yeah. Do it.
Don't feel obligated, but if you hear this voice... Go ahead.
It's Kristen.
Yeah, it's Kristen. Yeah.
And she's great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We were analyzing me off of the air, and we won't do that ever again. So I'm not getting the four of you together, or the four of us together
this
again.
This is fun.
Ever.
This is outnumbering Richie.
It's a lot of estrogen in this room. It's a lot. Let's do some articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
All right, so I've got a few. Most of them are pretty short, but I want to get into it and then get done and get recording this weekend's episode. So who would like to start?
Want to
start, Kate?
Stories
to sure. this is one of those happy, feel-good Mormon stories.
Yes.
Mormon missionary rescues kitten from storm drain. No joke. It's a true story.
Have you seen the video yet? Available now online. You could, if you follow the Cultural Hall on Facebook, it's there. You can see it.
Oh, if you haven't seen it, you must watch it. Two Mormon missionaries in Texas, usually tasked with serving mankind and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, recently rescued a member of the animal kingdom. Little did Elders Allen and Lacusta know that when they left home a recent spring morning, that they would save a small furry life by the end of the day.
Cute!
A kitten's cries for help got the attention of the two young men serving missions for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Who were riding their bikes home from an appointment on May 20th. After collecting the necessary tools, Elder Benjamin Allen of Kaysville, Utah, and Elder Darren Lacusta of Calgary, Alberta, Canada, lifted the manhole cover, lifted it. Those things aren't light.
That was the spirit, by the way.
Yeah, it can move mountains.
Guardian angels.
Oh, yeah.
It's a kitten!
You must get it. Yeah, they lifted off the storm drain, and Elder Allen wandered in. So does that mean he went down the hole?
Have you not watched the video?
No.
Check it out.
I read the stories.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's going in. So, here, go ahead. Finish this, and then I'll give you my theory on this.
He wandered in to respond to the frightened kitten's pleas for help.
Please help me, said the kitten.
Meow. The missionaries who are serving in the Texas Houston East Mission called their mission president and received permission to keep the kitten with them until they could find it a good home. That is my dream. That's what I wanted. You know how many cats there are in England walking around?
Really?
Every day I tried to bring home cats. Sister Lion, no. No. The missionaries who were serving in... Oh, we already read that part.
Weirdest part about the cats in London, though, if you listened really carefully, you could hear them say, "There are no cats in America." Go ahead. Keep going.
Is that like a theater joke?
Don't worry about it.
All right. Is it a theater thing?
There are two people that... Thank you. There are people that are my age that get that joke.
I don't get it.
So basically, they called somebody in their ward, or they text a lady who already had two rescue cats, and they asked her to adopt the cat. She agreed, took the kitten who had injured one of its back legs to a vet the following Monday. But you know what? They were afraid it needed to be amputated. Story gets worse. Early in the week, the kitten, now aptly dubbed Stormy, faced the brief scare in which it almost faced the amputation of its back leg. Elder Allen's father...
They gave it a blessing. Sorry, I spoiled it. They gave the kitty a blessing.
Oh, it's a little bit better. He heard about the rescue from his son via email, said he would pay for the cost of the animal's medical expenses, and an orthopedic specialist said Stormy's injury could instead be fixed, by having pains inserted in her leg through surgery. As of Saturday, Stormy was recovering from surgery and was happily settling into its new home with the McGee's.
All right, so...
Love it.
My thought? Planted kitten in the storm drain.
No.
So for the video. Come on.
Really?
You don't think? You don't think?
How do you find a kitten that needs amputated legs?
There's a woman... Come on.
And how would you be that desperate for, like, a viral video if you're a missionary?
You're not.
Hmm. Yeah.
But maybe...
And they happen to record it?
And then the cat named Stormy. Come on.
In the storm drain.
Yeah, in the storm. I mean, that makes sense, right? Call it Stormy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
It's hokey, we know, but it's adorable.
Right?
It's cute.
I would have liked the blessing for the cat. And
can
then it was healed.
Can you give blessings to animals?
What? You bet you can.
Can you?
Why not?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, no, when they... So here, anecdotally, I'll tell you, and then someone will look it up and actually share the story. There are stories of pioneers where they would bless the oxen coming across the plains.
Okay.
And they had to rise up because they were, sick or dehydrated or whatever, and being able to come all the way here. So maybe, I don't know, maybe domesticated pets are not the same thing, but...
I feel like if you need that power, if you have that love for your animal and you need to call on the power of God to heal it, you should be able to.
Yeah, I don't think God's going to be like, no.
Yeah.
Kitten.
Like, this is something you love. It's something that brings you joy.
Maybe if it were a dog. Dogs go to heaven, right?
I love my dog.
Only good dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought all dogs. Yeah.
All dogs.
All dogs.
Sure, you know that reference, but you don't know No Cats in America. That's cool. No, that's great. Fifo. Thank you. Thank you.
I love Fifo.
There are no cats in America.
Oh, my childhood.
Yeah.
That was
destroyed.
I know.
Sing the song again.
I'll do it again. You know what?
It'll come up.
Do it if I want.
I have kind of a downer story.
Oh, good.
And sort of breaking news. We don't know what's going on with the LDS missionary in Ogden.
Oh, yeah, please. I've got that story.
Okay.
Yeah,
so there is a 20-year-old sister missionary missing in Ogden as we speak. We are speaking on Tuesday evening, so by the time people hear this, there may be new information. But what we know right now is that fellow missionaries and local police are looking for Sister Niji Nada Kang. She's 20 years old, of Woodlands, Texas, who left her Ogden apartment between 9:30 and 10 p.m. And she's serving a full-time mission in the Ogden Mission. And she was last seen on Monday evening when she left on foot from her apartment in Ogden. No foul play is suspected, but Sister Kang was emotionally distressed when she was last
seen. I hate my companion! I'm out of here!
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Right? Guaranteed.
So the church is just asking for everyone to keep an eye out for her if you're in the Ogden area. And again, we don't have.
It's interesting. There's not more information like how long she'd been serving. You know, some of those things. Not that it matters necessarily, but
yeah.
My suspicion would be, and I bet I'm going to be proven right. She went somewhere in the ward, right? Somewhere close by. Maybe she could have even gone home. I had some mission companions that just booked tickets and flew home. They were like, done. Yeah. Peace out.
I did that.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Oh,
yeah. My husband. Yeah.
He just came home.
When
he's like,
him this,
peace.
He's like, oh, I've been there. He's like, I wasn't in the news. He's like, I did that. Like, honey, this is serious. So.
Well, yeah. I hope it's not more serious than that. I hope it's just like, I'm having a hard time. I need a break.
Well, imagine, right? Each of you love your spouses, right? Dearly. Well. Everyone kind of smiled at me funny. I didn't know how to take that.
Well,
everyone
was like, looking at when you're like,
everybody loves their spouses, right? But imagine spending literally every waking moment with that person that you love. And that's a person that you picked and you're able to be like loving towards. Yeah. Now imagine someone who is not your spouse, who a guy in an office, hopefully by inspiration, said, yeah, you, together, perfect. And you hate that person. Imagine that. It's terrible. It's the worst.
That could be really
hard.
You're
with them way more than your spouse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, literally just going to the bathroom or cleaning your naked self is the only time you're away from that person.
You're with your coworkers more than you're with your spouse.
Yeah.
Like, I see my coworkers 8 hours a day. I don't see my spouse 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
That's hard.
Why do we all hate our spouses? What's the deal? What's going on
Ask
here?
Ask me. I've got to like redeem myself here.
Yeah. What about you?
I love him.
Okay.
He is awesome. He rubs my feet when I'm pregnant.
Yes.
Remember? All right.
You're really cute pregnant, by the way.
Thank you.
I love my spouse too, by the way. Can I just throw that out?
I love mine too.
I'm like, you probably should.
There's a lot of love. I bet no one loves mine.
But I'm in therapy, so there's that.
Yeah. This is interesting. LDS Church down in Arizona. They want to use a residence as a seminary, but there's some folks in the town of Anthem, Arizona, that within their HOA, they don't want that to happen. So what happens is the Boulder Creek High School, the students, there's a house that's right across the street from the high school, and 120 students would daily use the home as a seminary. Basically, because down at this particular high school, not like you have in the state of Utah, and other places are going, so there's enough people that are LDS at this high school that they need to have an actual building for it, right? To have it at someone's home, they would have to have more people than one called to have seminary there. So they want to have this home, it's right across the street, but all the people in the HOA are like, nope, we don't want 120 kids coming and going. So they've taken it to the HOA, and they're mad.
Oh, those HOAs.
HOA Board President Doug Sutherland calls it a seminary, and that is allowed with a variance. One of the board members at the time voting for the variance is an LDS church member. The owners say that he should have excused himself from voting, but Sutherland says there is no conflict of interest because there was no monetary gain. So we will keep you up to date on whether or not.
I saw that story, and I don't know. I was just like, really, people?
The thing that I think is funny is that one of the people talking about is like, oh, there are 120 high school kids, and there could be meth, and there could be drugs, and there could be sloughing, and it's like, it's seminary, which is, I mean, not to say that LDS kids don't do meth or do drugs or slough, right? Because they do, but it is a designated place where they're opting to go.
The worst that it's going to be is like 20 boxes of donuts a week in the bin outside. You
right?
know what I mean?
And scripture chasing around the house. Hey, come back here, Alma. Ammon! Man, my arms! Ammon got me again! I got another one here. This is interesting. This is cool. This is out of Provo, Utah, right? So Provo, we think, you think the heart of conservatism as far as the church goes. Like Salt Lake, okay. But you think Provo and you think that's the hardcore stuff.
We're pretty liberal up here.
Yeah. By comparison.
Yeah.
A Utah woman is spearheading an effort to restore a religious symbol long forgotten in the foothills east of Provo over the last 40 years. Have you guys seen this story? Nikki Thornock, who is a Provo resident and a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is hoping to restore the Easter cross, which served as a symbol that brought different sects of Christianity together in the 1940s and was torn down and left in shambles in the 1970s. The plan to restore the cross began about a year and a half ago when Thornock saw the old cross in some photos from a woman in her same ward. The next day, Thornock, who lives at the foot of Y Mountain, visited the site where the cross once stood. It's still there, broken and knocked over. Thornock researched further and discovered that the cross was erected in 1939 by a local stonemason and served as an area for interdenominational groups to congregate as one on Easter Sunday before those services discontinued in 1951. Though the services ended, the cross remained in place and was a popular spot in the foothills. Unfortunately, it became a place for vandals to hang out. And then in 1970s, it says, they had to bulldoze it for safety reasons. So she's hoping to restore this Easter cross there on the foothills of Provo. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. She's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She's partnered with the Provo Community Congregational United Church of Christ, say that three times fast, and they've started a fundraising campaign to help raise the $14,000 needed to do that, and several churches in the Provo area have started to jump on board. So they're down in Provo, assuming that they get the money to fund that. And you can find a link to this at theculturalhall.com. Assuming that they get the money to be able to fund this, there will be this Easter cross, pun intended, resurrected on the foothills of Provo, and then be able to have meetings every Easter Sunday. Cool, right?
Good for them.
I like the unity thing.
Right? Like getting everybody out together.
Yeah. Different religions.
We're all working for the same cause.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You maybe wouldn't think that with Provo, or maybe you would. Maybe that's me being stereotypical about that.
Did we talk, forgive me for not having listened to last week's articles of news yet, because I'm a really busy mom. Did I tell you I'm a mom?
I didn't know.
Well, I have a show called The Mom Show.
Never heard of it.
So I just didn't want to brand
myself as a mom. You want to be pigeonholed as a mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
But did we talk about the lightning strike of the temple?
You bet. Of Moroni?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We already talked about
it.
Okay. I was trying to do the math.
Half the head and hole in the back of Moroni. You can see the video at theculturalhall.com.
All right. Then that is all.
Okay. Did you hear about Shia LaBeouf? LaBeouf of BYU students?
On with that.
Jumped
no,
in
seriously.
A car with some BYU kids.
I didn't read it because I was like, oh, whatever, this isn't true.
So no, it's true.
Tell me.
BYU students Scott Daly and Hank Hansen. Dank is a whole different thing. They set out from Provo this last Wednesday to intercept Shia LaBeouf, who is hitchhiking across America.
So basically, they were just driving across and they saw him.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
They sought him out.
They sought him out. He is using the hashtag TakeMeAnywhere.
What?
And people can pick him up and take him anywhere.
That's terrifying.
So they're going to bring him to Provo and they're going to convert him.
What happened. LaBeouf's latest project, hashtag TakeMeAnywhere, is a road trip across the United States with a twist. LaBeouf, along with collaborators Nastya Sade Ranko and Luke Turner, you should name your kid, your daughter, Nastya Sadia Ranko.
I can't say that.
I know. That's the best thing. Kid! They tweet their coordinates periodically, and whoever picks them up first can take the artists wherever that they want. The project's website is a live feed of LaBeouf's, Ronco's, and Turner's location.
So if I went online right now, I could see where he is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What?
So you can find the coordinates and then go after him. So what happened was, sent out coordinates, and they decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to, whatever his first name is, Daly, said he was going to go for it. So they left on the morning of May 25th. He follows LaBeouf's work online, tracked him to the project's website, and then found that he would be in Wyoming. But they didn't get there in time. Someone else got him, and they started heading east.
So did he just walk in the meantime, gets out and starts walking and wait?
No. So he gets in the car with somebody else. So like he tweets the coordinates out. Someone comes, picks him up and goes, hey, we're going to Yellowstone. And so then they head to Yellowstone. And then when they're done with him.
So has anyone asked why? Like, why is he doing this?
Because he's shy.
You know what, therapist? Why can't it just be?
Like, does he sit down and just wait?
It's an artistic project. Yeah. So he gets done and the coordinates and then it's.
A lawn chair that he sits in. I'm just
trying. Like, comfortable?
How does one of those sticks work? Like, does he have a hotel room? Does he?
Does he smell?
And come on. How long can does he get to be with these people?
That doesn't say, but you can go to takemeanywhere.vice.com for more information about this anywhere, or just the hashtag takemeanywhere. So they go. They didn't get him. They took sleeping bags, and they said, you know what? We've come this far. Let's wait for him to do another tweet or sending off of the coordinates, and they just waited and got him. Went and got Shia LaBeouf.
Where did they pick him up? In Wyoming?
They got him in Nebraska.
Oh. Huh.
And then drove with him for a while. And then
what if he doesn't want to go the way that they're going?
I don't think you get a pick.
Anywhere.
It's
That's
take me anywhere.
Hashtag.
It's not take me where I'd like to go.
Really? Yeah. Provo? Come on.
I don't think they got all the way to Provo. Oh, just okay. Provo student.
That seems dangerous to me. Like, there's a lot of crazies out there that would just like the opportunity to...
Oh, does it seem crazy?
Yes. Like, pick up... What?
I wouldn't recommend a woman doing it, no, and certainly not like a pregnant woman.
Well, I just think in general it seems kind
of
crazy.
Okay, that's funny because we were just talking about this. I actually got on the back of some guy's motorcycle on State Street. This was years ago.
Okay.
Not when I was pregnant.
I was going to say, because that is some motorcycle now if you're able to get arms around and that. Can you feel my twins kicking on your back? That's Luke.
Don't make me laugh so hard you have no idea the consequences right now. Yeah. No, I'm like, it's terrifying. I'm like, what was I thinking? And I just want to say, what is he thinking?
Yeah.
I picked up a hitchhiker before. I've shared this in the cultural hall, I think. Maybe not. I was driving back from college my freshman year with this girl that I really liked. And sometimes you do things stupid, like to show off. Like, I'm totally brave, whatever. There's this hitchhiker on the side of the road. Pull over to pick him up. Where are you going? Oh, I'm trying to get to I-70. So it was probably like 100 miles with this guy. And we put him in the back seat. He hadn't been in the back seat for longer than about 2 minutes before I get pulled over, right? I wasn't speeding. I think that they probably tracked the hitchhiker or whatever, but there's me, who is white, clean-cut Mormon kid, you know, 18, 19. The girl who I was with, who is Utah County white, clean-cut Mormon girl, and guy in the back seat with the biggest beard and this huge backpack full of junk and just dirty, and he's like, where are you guys headed? Oh, just headed up to Salt Lake, heading home for the weekend. Oh, yeah, all three of you guys, yeah? Oh, yeah, just heading back from school. He's looking at the guy in the back seat. This is Mike. This is my buddy Mike. Yeah. But the coolest part was, I asked the guy, he's like, oh, can I give you some money for the ride or whatever? I don't have any money now. I said, here's the deal. Just send me a postcard. Just send me a postcard, because he was trying to get to California. So he's going up to 70, and then he was going to head up to California. Then he was going to go to Hawaii. I said, when you get to Hawaii, send me a postcard.
You gave him your address?
Right.
I would
is the thing, is the
no,
thing
you
that
know
in,
the time.
In, the in retrospect, was the dumb thing.
Mike's going to show up on your doorstep and be like, dude, can I get a place to stay, though?
But I sent him, or I gave him my address, and he sent me a postcard from Hawaii when he got there. It says, Rick, or maybe it was Richie then. Oh, it would have been Richie then. Said, Richie, made it to Hawaii. It's the cat's pajamas. Thanks again for the lift. And that was it. But he sent his postcard.
That's awesome.
That's keeping to your word.
Okay. And you helped him reach his goal.
Yep. I'm just a helper. That's
BMFs.
All.
You are a good guy.
Never heard from him again, huh?
The weirdest part is he was pregnant and I felt the babies kicking.
Until he showed up on his porch. Yeah. And
that's how I first met my stepdad. What other stories do you guys have?
I'm out.
You want a Star Wars fan?
Yes. I was hoping you would do this one.
Yes. You saw the same story, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm
have you seen this picture, Kristen?
You guys need to see this. Have you seen all the pictures? Okay, look at this.
Oh,
look
I
at
did
this
see
really
that.
Quick.
Yeah. Oh, cute.
Okay.
Those
so I guess
cute.
It started, the story, this little love story, started with Victor and Julianne. Last name is now Sign. Let's see here. It was Payne, Julianne Payne. Let's see here. So it started, the Mormon couple whose heartwarming Star Wars themed engagement photo went viral earlier this year. They were married this week in Southern California. All because of, well, because of this engagement picture, it went viral.
So he's black and she's white.
Yeah.
You need to know that.
Yeah.
I don't want to, I don't see colors, but in order for this story to matter at all, you have to know that he's black and she's white.
And you have to have seen Star Wars, too. Let's,
you know. The new one. The newest one.
The absolutely new one. So this is kind of like the movie poster. And they went on and took like a bunch of pictures. And then she has a daughter, this little baby. Her name's Addie. But they call her Baby 8.
Cute.
BB-8, get it?
Baby 8.
Oh, I love it. And so because this whole thing went viral, GoFundMe. Was it a GoFundMe? I can't remember. I might be misquoting.
Yeah, it's GoFundMe.
They did this fundraiser because this new dad, Mr. Sign, wants to adopt BB-8.
Cute.
I guess dad.
Which is $11,000, which I don't understand, right?
Mm. They've like, already raised more than
like
we did.
Like yeah, but so here's the thing that I don't understand. If I'm dad, right, and I'm married to mom and kid, I'm the dad, I'm the guardian, so obviously you want to make it legal, I guess, but $11,000 to make it legal seems really ridiculous.
Really expensive.
Yeah.
Adoption is not cheap.
Because where does that money go?
But
who
like
gets
it's,
that money?
But like
the
it's
state?
One thing
attorneys.
If it's like, hey, you and I, okay, we're married, we don't have kids, so we need to have a kid, get a kid.
Yep.
Okay, so that to me makes a little bit more sense, where it's like there's administrative costs and, hey, you know, you give a little extra to the mom for eating healthy while she's pregnant, right? That kind of stuff.
Right.
That's where some of that money goes.
Right.
Make sure you take the prenates.
Right. Yep.
Right. Here's an extra thou. Make sure you do that every morning. You know what
you
I'm
call
saying?
The shots. You do.
But for just sheerly the adoption, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know where $11,000 would go in that circumstance.
Oh, yeah. But the cutest pictures
fees,
ever.
Right? I know, you've got to see the
so
pictures.
So cute. Because he's Finn.
Finn?
Is that the
Finn and Ray
name?
Are the...
And
are
Ray.
The,
okay. Yep.
They're not really Finn and Ray.
Oh, really?
No.
I wasn't sure of that.
Well, it's not really Baby 8 either. I just want to point that out.
Okay.
Because it's a droid in the movie, if you haven't seen.
Look at that
it's
picture.
Not a baby.
One.
Well, they just look so
cute.
Much like the characters. Like, they look...
He was like a legit Star Wars fan. And she said, like, before they started dating, and he had this idea for their engagement picture. It's just, it's super Utah.
And she's
and
the best
it.
Wife ever.
But
for
he's
going
from
along
Calif-
with
they're
it.
From California.
But, I know.
They're just super Mormon.
Yeah, that should have said Mormon, but, you know. It's a great story. I think it's awesome.
With the best line being the last line of the story, since I started going back to church. Because
she
was inactive for a little while. Everything has fallen into place, she said. The more I go to church, the more my faith grows, the more awesome things happen to us. Now there's really no room for doubt.
Nice.
A new hope is born.
There it is.
You can't put a price on that.
Yeah.
No.
Awesome. A couple more stories here.
What have you got?
I've got a couple, but I've
got one, but...
Which one's that?
It's a little weird. It's about a... Like a reality TV show.
Yes.
You got that one?
That's where I was actually going to go. Have you guys seen this?
I like reality TV. That's not
Haley, who's 18. She's from Mesa, Arizona. She decided to marry 21-year-old George from Riverton, Utah after how long? How long do we think?
4 months.
Okay. That would be short.
But normal here in Utah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Common.
Like, common.
Not shocking.
What would be shocking? What do we say
10 days.
Shocking? Okay.
Yeah.
Say
under a
month.
2 weeks. The Mormon couple, which is on the TV show Teenage Newlyweds, they're one of three couples. The other two are not Mormon, which surprises me. Look at, if I can be every bit of stereotypical Mormonness, let's go ahead
it's adorable.
And show that
Cute.
Sweet Mormon picture.
Cute.
Yep.
I love it. I love it because of this. They're featured on the show, and one of the other couples actually, unfortunately, is having a hard time because they didn't talk about things because they didn't know each other for very long, and they feel very oppositely about like birth control and abortion.
Oh,
like very adamantly different. Mm-hmm. Not this Mormon couple, but another couple that's on the show.
Yeah,
but Haley and George, one of the three couples featured on the show. The series documents, I got to find this line now. It's the series documents their weddings, nerves over the first time sex, and the ups and downs of married life. She said that she was not worried about getting married at such a young age because they know for them that it's the right thing. But where's the line? Because I absolutely loved it. Let me see if I can find it. Talking about how they met in the first episode, the weddings, Haley said that she first met George when he was working as a missionary at her church. When Haley was in Utah at Christmas, she invited George to dinner with her family. When she said, and then they said they just kind of clicked. We spent around 2 weeks together, and I just looked at him one day, and I looked at him and said, I kind of want to marry you.
And that was it.
That's not my favorite part of this. A big reason we didn't wait to get married was we both wanted it. Why would we wait? Again, that's not the thing that I'm waiting for. Hang on for this, because this is my favorite part coming up. She added, there are people who say I'm too young or he's too young. Well, that's your opinion. But for us, we know that that's the right thing. Again, still not what I'm getting at. However, George.
Love, George.
George admitted that sex was a factor. Quote, a big part of our religion is that we don't have any sexual relationships outside of marriage. We're young people who like each other, so things happen.
You know what, George? Tell it like it is.
Yep. Way to go, George.
Because, you know, it's transparent.
Yeah.
Hello. It's transparent.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. The rest of these are fairly hefty. Let me just do one more, and then we'll get into these other stories next week. Because one of them is rape culture, and I don't want to skip past that super quick. One of them is the opiate crisis in the state of Utah, so I don't feel like we can blow through that. And the other one is Ty Detmer's conversion story, so maybe we save that for when he's on with us. So let me just share this. On May 25th, retired Lieutenant Colonel Sherman Fleek. On fleek.
So fleek.
So very fleek right now. He was awarded the Secretary of the Army Award for Valor by Secretary Eric K. Fanning. He's a member of the church in the West Point Ward of the New York State.
What?
Okay. Sorry.
You spell that?
On May 31st, 2015, Fleek, also an author of both historical fiction and nonfiction, was on leave from West Point to attend his son's marriage in the Sacramento, California temple. He took the opportunity to visit the 93-year-old widow of a friend in Fairfield, California. Shortly after noon, Fleek and his friend visited a local IHOP. Now, I thought, IHOP, is that a military thing that I'm not in referencing? No, it's an International House of Pancakes.
Yeah, how do you not know what IHOP is?
Well, no, I know what it is, but he's being awarded an Army Award for Valor, so I'm like, IHOP, I don't want to hop to any conclusions. He said, as he sat in the lobby, Fleek had no idea that he would call on years of military training as they simply waited for an open table. I heard some loud voices, calls, and crying, Fleek said. Then two young women ran from their chairs past me in the waiting area and dashed through the doors. Fleek's eyes followed their path backward toward the cashier's counter, and he saw a man hiding under a hat with a scarf around his face. He was pointing a 9mm Beretta pistol at the cashier.
Oh, scary.
The man yelled, put all the money in the bag, and the frightened young employee began pulling cash from the register. Impressions came at Fleek with sudden force. The gunman was facing away and did not see me, Fleek said. I knew I could take him down, but if I did, perhaps someone would be shot and wounded or even killed.
No.
A surge overcame Fleek, and he rushed the gunman. In a flash, he realized that 3 decades had passed since he'd needed to use his hand-to-hand combat skills learned during special forces training. I pounced, and the blow knocked him across the counter and the cashier, Fleek said. I tried to reach my arm right under his armpit, and then... Next page. Secure him in a headlock or half Nelson, then I could shake the firearm loose. The gunman turned on me with a pistol still in his grip. I'll save the rest of the story for another time. I'm just using.
Nope, we're gripped. We're all waiting for the conclusion.
Fleek grabbed the man's wrist and tried to twist the weapon away, but the man pushed down, and for a moment, the muzzle was pointed at Fleek's chest.
Oh my gosh, scary.
Using every ounce of adrenaline-fueled strength, Fleek pushed the gunman, and they both lost their balance, falling to a bench. We continued for a moment to wrestle for control of the pistol while straddled across the bench, Fleek said. Then, gaining our feet somehow, we both separated. Fleek said the man fled on foot, and he believes the entire ordeal lasted... just a few seconds.
Whoa.
Fleek responded with humility when asked about the Army's prestigious Secretary of the Army Award for Valor. I'm torn and divided, he said. Half of me thinks this award is interesting and valor should be recognized. But then I ponder, why? I just acted. I didn't even think it through. Why all the fuss? The robber got away. Yet, at the award ceremony held at the Pentagon, Fanning said the Fleek's bravery saved lives and represented dedication to excellence and commitment to selfless service. People are our greatest resource, Fanning said. Our strength, the strength of this nation, has come from our values, our ethos, and our people. The soldiers and civilians we honor today epitomize the best the Army has to offer. When the buzz over the award fades and the plaque is on the wall, Fleek will return to his work as command historian at West Point and to his calling as high priest group leader in the West Point ward. And, as this writer creatively writes, if all goes well, he might finally get those pancakes. Mm. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
And then when the time comes, you will travel home in safety with Fleek on your back, in your backseat.
Pray for me when I ride on the back of motorcycles with strangers.
You want one, Kristen, or should we let you go?
I'm trying to think of one.
That's all right.
Bless the food.
I will bless the food.
In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat.